This is JimPinto.com, e-news number 303, 27th of April 2012. This e-news is read by Jim's text-to-speech robot, McJimbo, or McJimbot, if you prefer. As usual, there are 5 items and 3 feedbacks in this issue of e-news. Item 1. Future manufacturing is now. The April 21, 2012 edition of The Economist is an important special report, The Third Industrial Revolution. Here is a summary. Several revolutionary technologies are converging in this decade: new materials, digital and nanoscale manufacturing, advanced robotics, 3D printing, and a wide variety of web-based services. The Third Industrial Revolution is emerging. Old manufacturing is assembly of mass-produced parts. Today, digitally designed products can be printed, creating solid objects by building up successive layers of specified materials. Almost anything can be produced this way. Within the next decade, anyone will be able to simply download a digital design and print it. The old concepts of economies of scale won't matter anymore. A 3D printer is like a two-dimensional office printer that prints just one page or many, at the same cost per page. This will have a disruptive effect as significant as office equipment, telecoms, photography, music, publishing and films. Materials are changing as well. For example, carbon fiber composites are replacing steel and aluminum. Product engineering will begin at the nanoscale level. Everything in the factories of the future will be run by smart software. As manufacturing goes digital, it will allow things to be made economically in much smaller numbers, with more flexibility and minimal labor. As the number of people directly employed in manufacturing declines, the cost of labor as a proportion of the total cost of production will reduce drastically. This will motivate manufacturers to move work back to advanced countries, not only because offshore wages are increasing, but also because new manufacturing techniques make it cheaper and faster to respond to changing local tastes. Now the wheel of industrialization is coming full circle, turning away from mass manufacturing towards much more individualized production. This could bring back many jobs back to the rich countries. But here too, what will happen to manufacturing jobs? Big question. Item 2. Different innovation styles. The auto companies have generated new spirit by refocusing on innovation in high-tech manufacturing. But, will the industry that was born with Henry Ford's production line survive in the coming third generation era of industrialization? In a new book, Reverse Innovation, the authors from the Tuck School of Business point out that the gap between rich nations and emerging economies is closing. No longer will innovation originate only in what was considered the first world. In the new global environment, significant innovation will flow in the other direction. In the mature economies of North America and Europe, innovation is mostly linked to big budgets in large R&D facilities, backed by huge marketing programs, largely targeting the most affluent customers with high margins to recoup the development costs. Let's look at innovation from the other end. India creates what is needed from whatever is available. In India, constraint-based innovation relies more on ingenuity and improvisation to solve problems. In India, colloquially, this frugal engineering is called jugaad. Automobile innovation is an example. While most car manufacturers are focused on high-tech gadgets, better looks and more horsepower, which drives costs up, the tiny Tata Nano is being sold for about $2,000. This is the smallest, lowest powered and cheapest production car in the world. At last count, the Nano was backlogged for several years. Clearly, we need to rethink our old ideas about innovation. Item 3. Exceeding the limits of growth. In the 1970s, an environmental study, The Limits to Growth, predicted that the world is on track for disaster. But no one really took the warning seriously. A new study by MIT researchers used computers to model several possible future scenarios. It compared real-world data with a business-as-usual scenario, and confirmed the prognosis. If humans continue to consume more than nature was capable of providing, global economic collapse and population decline could occur by 2030. However, the MIT study also noted that unlimited economic growth was possible if governments forged policies and invested in technologies to regulate the expansion of humanity's ecological footprint, providing abundance as humanity's grandest challenge. A new book, Abundance, describes how the growth challenges can be met. The book shows how four forces, exponential growth technologies, do-it-yourself innovators, techno-philanthropists, and the rising billions, are combining to solve humanity's biggest problems. The book gives plenty of reason for optimism. It examines human need by category: water, food, energy, healthcare, education, freedom. And it's introduced dozens of innovators who are making great strides in each area. Item 4. Chile Impressions and Anniversary Event. It started with an email from an old colleague, Juan Mincaca in Chile, an Action Instruments sales representative over 30 years ago. He sent a picture of me presenting him with an award at an Action sales meeting, two smiling, young go-getters. I remembered. Juan invited me to come to Chile to be the keynote speaker at an event to celebrate the 30th anniversary of the founding of his company based in Santiago, Chile. Industrial Measurement and Automation, IMA, was founded by Juan and his partner Aldo Amadori, and has grown to over 1,200 people, with systems integration, sales and service operations. We had indeed been considering a visit to Chile. The trip would include a week's Easter vacation, and I accepted the speaking engagement with pleasure. We spent a delightful week before Easter, with excellent weather. Our brief stay was primarily in Santiago, and allowed only day-long visits to Viña del Mar, Valparaíso and Zapala around the coast, about 75 miles away. Wow! What wonderful sights, restaurants and food! I must tell you a little story about my hosts. They were both ex-Honeywell before they started IMA, and they had some great three-decades-old stories. One of their customers, a large copper mining operation, was buying a large DCS system, and also specified PLCs. PL what? They had never heard about programmable logic controllers before. They signed on as the Chile representative for Alan Bradley and won the project. The IMA 30th anniversary event was hosted by the Association of Industrial Electrics and Electronics, and held at the University Auditorium in Santiago with about 100 people in attendance, industrial customers as well as sales professionals and university professors. My two talks, Industrial Automation Technology Trends, and The Future of Global Industrial Automation, were well received, with simultaneous translation earpieces for those who needed them. The attitudes and excitement made this a very rewarding experience for me. I am resolved to return. Item 5. JimPinto.com, Automation Company Weblogs Discontinued. The Automation Company Weblogs were started about 10 years ago, with considerable success. Some weblogs regularly attracted more than 1,000 visits per day. Clearly there was a need. I invited people to include their names, but most blogs were anonymous. Apparently, many people don't have any other way to communicate within their own company. It was very evident that senior management in all the automation companies were reading the weblogs regularly. The anonymous weblogs were an experiment, allowing company employees to vent when management takes no notice. Many complained that inclusion of names would certainly have negative personal repercussions. But sadly, apart from the occasional positive blog, it deteriorated to a mostly negative tone. As someone suggested, negativity breeds negativity. So, with very little in the way of positive results, I have stopped these weblogs. These are difficult economic times, and all the automation companies are doing about as well as most other industrial companies, some better than most. I wish them and their employees continued success. As usual, there are three feedbacks in this issue of eNews. Feedback 1 is from Greg Hale, who launched his company ISS Source almost 2 years ago. Greg comments on my recent coverage of industrial security issues. I am amazed at how quickly safety and security environment have become important elements in the manufacturing automation world. There are companies that are doing the right thing in investing in a defense in depth strategy. But not enough are moving in that direction. It seems the thought is prevailing that manufacturers don't feel that they themselves will be a victim. It ends up being a bet they make, saying they can save on the lower cost of a total security solution compared to the much higher cost of an attack. That seems like a big gamble to me. The main message to get out is that the technology is out there to help keep manufacturers safe and secure. But technology alone will not solve the problem. The human side needs to remain vigilant to ensure continued safety and security. Feedback 2 is from Michael Ding from China, who comments on Bob Schaefer's Meditations of an American in China. Says Michael, "Yes, you have readers, including me, in China. Actually, as an engineer in the field of industrial automation, I have been reading your e-news for almost 10 years, if my memory is correct. Your e-news not only keeps me updated on automation technology progress, but also makes me think about the underlying cultural factors of various nations and companies. I'm not surprised that an American was shocked by the Spring Festival migration in China, wondering how crazy Chinese could be to get home in this Chinese traditional holiday. In my view, behind the largest mass movement of people on this planet is the cultural factor of family. It is very important for Chinese to get back home and stay with parents for a couple of days in the Spring Festival. Considering the huge geographical area and the number of people, the transportation is a challenge to every government. With the increasing number of off-farm workers in recent years, the situation is getting more challenging. Most Chinese, however, think that the importance of family gathering, or reunion, outweighs the difficulties of traffic. They take whatever way to get home, especially off-farm workers who work hard in big cities far from their hometown during most of the year. With the strong impact of Western culture in the past decade, the family reunion is one of the few traditions Chinese still hold. Parents normally enjoy this period most. I think, generally, this tradition is good, since it makes the family relationship stronger and makes parents happy. On the other hand, the government should work harder to address the traffic problem. By the way, this is also good exercise for my English." Feedback 3. Dick Carlo is a field bus guru and expert on decentralized control. Dick wrote, "Since 1985, I have been preaching the benefits of decentralized control. That is what led me to field bus. You were 100% correct that the major suppliers have only given lip service to decentralized control. Specifically, Foundation Fieldbus HSE is the key technology, and it is not supported on most vendor systems. It enables direct peer-to-peer communications between any two nodes on the Foundation Fieldbus network. This is the subject for my book, Consumer Guide to Foundation Fieldbus Networks for Process Control. This is proven technology that works at several refineries, because the users have taken the lead. I have spoken with top executives at two of the leading PLC companies about this and offered to lead their development teams to prepare the necessary software, but they are not interested. It was not developed in-house. Our industry not only lacks the leadership to produce killer products, but effectively stonewalls their organizations from external sources of killer ideas." Well, that's this issue of e-news. Please send us your feedback. Send your email to jim@jimpinto.com. Thank you for listening.